Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be to your holy name, O Yahweh. And thank you for blessing us with your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King, Rebbe Melech, Yahushua HaMashiach. And Father, we thank you for all that you do, how you lead us, how you guide us, but most importantly, Father, how you forgive us every day for the sins that we commit against you, Father, knowingly and unknowingly. Father, I just ask for your continued mercy, Father, to forgive me continually for my sins, Father, and just ask that your spirit rest upon all of us, your spirit of shalom, your spirit of peace, your spirit of unity, your spirit of love, Father, on this Shabbat day, Father, that you asked us, Father, to keep, to safeguard, Father, and also, Father, to observe diligently. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, those who are ailing physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, Father, that on this day, if no other day, Father, you give them what they need, Father, as in your word, your Son said, that you would give us this day our daily bread, Father. And Father, also that you would forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, Father. So help us to deal with all the things, Father, we encountered during the week, Father, the ups, the downs, the good and the bad, Father, and my brother stated last night in his teaching that contentment, even the things that are in between, Father, we just ask you, Father, to keep us continually as the apple of your eye, Father. And my brother say, if we go to the left or to the right, Father, that you bring us back onto that right path, Father. These things, Father, we ask you, Father, to look out for our children, our elders, and for us, Father. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of your Son, Yahushua. Amen. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. Once again, it's your brother Ahav El from Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is another iteration of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as Abba leads us and guides us this day, we will be talking about This Is Your Wisdom. And the keynote scripture is from Deuteronomy 4:6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. You know, as my brother once stated, that the Torah is our constitution. It is the credo. It is our culture. It encompasses everything. It gives us direction on what to wear, how to think, how to act, what to eat, what to avoid. Without the Torah, Yisrael is nothing. There's no nation of Yisrael without the Torah, without a set of guidelines, a history book, poems, testaments, and all sorts of other things, you know, that are provided for us by the creator of all things, the creator of the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the whales, the little guppies in the sea, and sardines, and the little bugs that we see, the great oak trees that we see. All these things were created by him. And out of all of his creation, he gave only unto humanity specific instructions. Those that are made in his image and after his likeness, he gave us specific instructions on how to conduct our lives on this side. And that makes us very, very special, just as human beings. Let alone now you distill that, as we have been taught, that there's a particular line of people that he has chosen. And amongst this particular line of people that he has chosen, handpicked, he has asked them to represent him and to do things in a way that when people look after us, they will say, my goodness, as this scripture says, wow, this nation is special. This nation is different. But when we conduct our day-to-day lives in a manner in which it shows contrary, then what does that mean? You know, people talk about, especially people with money, you know, they talk about a brand, somebody with a business. Now, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, very wealthy, but you know, you have, you know, you hear, especially now among athletes, now that they understand that their name, image, and likeness is something of value, they, you hear them now talking a lot about my brand, my brand, my brand. But do we realize as believers that we are representative of the mighty one of the heavens and the earth, that he has a brand? That all these people are doing is just copycatting off of what he has done. He has made a special trademark. What other things are associated with a business, you know? First thing that's coming to mind is, you know, a trademark, you know? That when you see that symbol, that symbol is to be proof positive of the quality, the craftsmanship, of the quality of that craftsmanship, as well as what you can expect from that quality. Because, you know, you think about certain brands, right? Like, let's say cars, for instance. I like a particular type of vehicle, right? And the reason why I like that type of particular type of vehicle is because I like the way it drives. Right now, there are other vehicles, and I used to be a valet, so I've driven a ton of cars. You know, even if it is a couple of blocks, I've had the opportunity to drive, you know, luxury cars, you know, exotic cars. You know, again, even if it is for a particular block. And it's so funny because somebody came through where that we work. We have valet services. Somebody came through the valet lane, and there's a particular car that the person came up with, and you know, some cars, you don't need necessarily to have a key. Now, with a new brand of car, you have to have that. The person who's the owner of the car has to have the phone within proximity for anybody to be able to start that car. So they weren't able to, you know, able to start that car, right? But even amongst, you know, different cars and the quality of cars, you know, if you get, let's say, the top of the line, right? You know, Rolls Royce, the RR, right? Its hallmark, its claim to fame is not just the name of that luxury car, but also what you will experience, because you hear now in these commercials, the experience, what you will experience as a passenger and as a driver within that vehicle, what you can expect to feel, hear, experience within that automobile. This is why the creators of it can demand from the consumer a particular dollar amount, and they're willing to give that dollar amount because they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if at any point the quality doesn't meet their expectations, they could bring it right back to that dealership and say, hey, something ain't right. When I make a left turn, it ain't feeling right. When I make a right turn, it ain't feeling right. When I accelerate, I don't feel it. When I hit a bump, I'm hearing the bumps. And that's one of the things about that RR. You know, when you drive, you hear nothing. You only experience what's on the inside of that car. You're not supposed to feel a bump unless you hit one of them deep potholes. You're not supposed to feel anything except you're just moving towards your destination in nothing but luxury and comfort, right? But then when you think about the brand of Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, right? And I'm not trying to cheapen it in any way by associating it with a brand, but it is. He said, we are spectacles. We are things that people look at. So think about when you see something. All right, women, Coach bag. Louis Vuitton, whatever it is, Eminem, what is it? MC, whatever it is, right? That you are willing to spend your money on because when you see it, it makes you feel a certain way. It represents something of extreme value to you. Though for those who may get their nails and feet done, why do you pick one salon over another? There are tons of salons. Matter of fact, there's a salon not far from where I work, right down on by Lexington Market. How many's gonna go to that nail salon to get their feet and their nails done? Or if you go get your hair done, why do you pick one? You could go into one particular establishment, but there's one particular person that you say, that's the person I want to go to either get my hair cut if you're a man, or for a woman to get your hair, and you know, you get your hair done. If you go to a spa, why do you go to one particular spa over another spa? And let's say they're even of the same, let's say they're within the same network, because you do have some massage places where you go to that are part of a particular, a greater network. They're like a franchise. But if you go to one hardware store, let's say up by the plaza, but there's another hardware store, let's say our Owings Mills of the same brand, your experience at the one at the plaza is going to be much different than your experience at the one in Owings Mills, even though they are the same brand. They are the same store. But I can tell you from my personal experience, customer service is going to be different. You may not necessarily see an armed officer standing at the door at one particular establishment within an area as opposed to another one. But anyway, the point that I'm making is that, and back to the keynote, how are we representing the Most High? Because he said, this is our wisdom among the nations. And I got some scriptures definitely want to talk about. I had a similar experience to what my brother illustrated last night. And I got to see my brother, and I want to tell him thank you, you know, because, and I always say this, or I try to say this at the end of my lesson, if I say anything that anybody may feel, you know, I said error, or something I need to correct, by all means, you know, talk to me. And my brother so far, you know, on two occasions that come to mind, he's talked to me. And I love and I appreciate that. Because as opposed to sitting in wonder, well, he came straight up to me and asked me, hey, bro, some of the things you mentioned, were you talking about me? And I said, no, bro. No, they weren't directed towards anyone in particular. It was just very general. As was stated, you know, a statement was made and it just sparked, you know, a thought in my mind about where we are as friends, family, congregational members. And if there are things that need to be corrected among the group, by all means, let's let love rule. Let's let love be the most powerful and dominant force in our life. Why? Because if Yah is love, which the scriptures say, that means he is the most powerful and dominant force in the universe. That means love, which is equated with him, must in our personal lives be the most dominant force in our life. But he came and he talked to me. And I said, no, bro, I'm directed towards you. Not at all. I mean, I told him straight up, you weren't even in my mind when I was thinking about it. When I was going through, nobody was in my mind. Just in general, no particular person, just that if there's anything, let's seal up the cracks. Let's start becoming friendly with one another again. And as was, you know, stated by Rabbi afterwards in his teaching, it's not that we don't love one. And let me tell you something. Me and my brother Ariel was talking about this. And again, the brother who confronted me with my brother Yarel, if you couldn't read between the lines, talked to me about you know, some things I said last week. And we had a good conversation after that. We always have good conversations, you know, but we had a great conversation afterwards about just life in general, the word, what Yahweh's doing with us as individuals, and it was great. And I appreciate you, my brother, for coming and doing that, talking to me, and not letting anything. I wasn't even supposed to be going up in that area that day. And I'd asked earlier, I said, y'all seen my brother? I said, y'all seen y'all brother, our brother? And they said, no. And just so happened I need to go up to a particular building. He just so happened to be there and was like, hey, bro, let me ask you something real quick. Yeah, bro, what's up? We just got to chop it up. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, so, yeah, but what Yaka'el said last week is it's not that we don't love one another. And I was talking to Ariel, one of the things that, you know, said, you know, someone told me that, again, mentioned this last week, the opposite of love is indifference, right? And a stranger can't hurt you. They might say, you know, like something out of the way or do something that may bother you. But is not gonna, won't hurt you the way somebody you care about and love hurts you. You know, when somebody you care about and you really love does something or says something that hurts you, you tend to hold on to it a little bit longer. Because you have feelings for that person. You care about that person. You have a relationship with that person. You know, they, when it cuts deep. You know, but even though somebody who, you know, in passing may say something untowards, you know, about you or say something untowards, you can let that go. Yeah, it may hurt, it may sting, but it's not something you really have left yourself open and vulnerable to. You know, I work in customer service, right? And there are times people come in and they may entreat staff, some of my team members in a way that they feel like, you know, oh, talking to somebody, you know, at work. And somebody says something, she said to me that, oh, they were so nasty towards me. I said, well, and I had experienced what they had experienced on their way in. And they were very curt. And they have a family member who's dying of cancer. And the man had his... The man threw up in the middle of the lobby, right in front of everybody. Now, just imagine how embarrassing that is. You're already sick. You're already hurting. They've given you a diagnosis, which the worst thing you could possibly hear in your ears is you have stage 4 cancer. You have to undergo a battery of chemotherapy. And if you know anything about chemotherapy, it makes you incontinent. It makes you nauseated. It makes you weak. My brothers and I see that every day coming through the door hundreds of times a day. And you can tell, and we take people to this particular part of the cancer unit of our hospital hundreds of times a day. Those are the most of the escorts we do is right there. Those are the few people we really don't even stop. We don't make them stand in line to get an ID badge. Nope, y'all just keep on going. And you can tell when some are having their most challenging days. They're short. They're curt. They don't really talk a lot to you. They're having a rough day. They're going through the worst possible physical trial of their life. They are staring at death's door. So if they come in one day and they're not chipper, they're not friendly. They may just put their hand up and keep on walking past you. If they need a wheelchair, give them the wheelchair. You sit them down in the wheelchair and they ain't got two words for you. It ain't because they got something against you. They ain't caring about you. You are irrelevant to their life at that point. They're in the battle of life and death. To say, don't take it personal. That man just had a situation right there in the middle of the lobby. And a lot of these people have probably, like, this one couple comes in, say, you need a wheelchair, sir? And the wife will say, no, don't give him a wheelchair. He's got to make it on his own. He's got to find his strength. He needs his dignity, is what she will tell us. Don't take his dignity away from him. And he's a war veteran. Come to find out he's Jewish. They've been together longer than, just about as long as I've been on this earth. And that woman knows that man like the back of her hand and said, don't you dare put a wheelchair in front of him. Let him work it out. But there are days when she said, yeah, he needs one today. So when they don't treat you the way you may necessarily want to be treated or expect to be treated by them, that they don't take it personal. Let it go. Don't let it ruin your day. Understand how blessed of a position that you are in to help as opposed to being in their position. And some of you still get pushed by one lady on the job. Well, that don't mean they got to still be nasty to me. You missed the point, lady. And the sad part is you in a similar situation with a loved one of yours. And I remember you not being as friendly one particular day. This is why he says, if you see one caught up in a fault, consider yourself. Maybe somebody had a bad day. A believer can have a bad day. Don't tell me you've never had a bad day as a believer. I'm going to be straight up with you. There are plenty of days. My brother said last night, I'm on the ledge. I'm on the edge. I'm smiling on the outside, laughing, even amongst the congregation, ki-ki-ki, ka-ka-ka, but inside, utter chaos, turmoil. But this week have been pretty good, you know, and I was in a similar situation, like, oh, but what you want to talk about? What do you want me to talk about, Father? What is on your heart? What do I need to correct? What do I need to know? Search me and find me out, Father. Use that microscope. Where's the dirt? Where's the tarnish? What needs to be cleaned up? So he led me here. Deuteronomy 4:6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, right? Excuse me. So let's continue talking about some things, family. One of the things I remember way, way back, and Abba led me to this and said, you know what, start going through this. You know, we've gone through the journey of going through all the scriptures from beginning to end, as far as we know. And he brought some things to mind from a teaching from many, many years ago. We were still in the room. Well, not to delay. Here we go. We're going to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to start reading from chapter 1, verse 1. And with Yahweh's permission, this may be how we end up for the next couple of weeks. Because Abba said, bring this back to mind. To me. Bring this back to mind. So I'm going to share it with y'all. Proverbs 1, 1. And it reads, the Proverbs of Shlomo, Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. 1:6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And 1:7 ends with this. The fear, Yirah, of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I thought about myself in regards to that. But remember, do y'all remember when Yaka'el went through this teaching and what the term, I wish I wasn't funny, y'all. That's the one thing I can honestly, sincerely miss, tell you I sincerely miss, is being in the midst of the congregation when it is my time to teach. I miss that. I enjoy being in the midst of everybody in the congregation. Because like my other brothers, I like interaction. I like to see the expressions on everybody's face. I like to feel the energy coming off of everybody. And I like to hear, I like the discourse of it. I just don't want to be up there and just blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. I want to interact with my brothers and sisters. And just like all my, I like to ask questions and prick the mind. And find out where everybody is. If I can get a witness or two or three out of the congregation into what Abba has been saying, hey, talk about this, right? But if you remember, Proverbs, what is the word for Proverbs in Scripture, right? Mishlei, right? and what did we learn that it points to? Do y'all remember? A pithy maxim, right? And do y'all remember what a pithy maxim is? Well, if not, here we go. Let's talk about what a pithy maxim is. And you know, one of my favorite tools is the Etymology Online or Etymology Explorer, right? And let's see. bear with me as I utilize my handy-dandy phone. Excuse me for any background noise. Pithy, right? Pithy. Strong, vigorous, from pith plus the suffix y-e, right? Meaning full of substance and significance. So a proverb, this book called Proverbs, which in Hebrew is Mishlei, is full of strong, vigorous substance and significance, right? It wants to make you strong. One of the words, right? Pith, right? The word pith, which is pithy. Pith meaning what the word is. Pithy, making it a herb, whatever it is. I don't know. Not in school anymore. I need to go back to school. Old English, pippa. Central cylinder of the stem of plants. That should immediately make us go, the central cylinder of the stem of plants is the pith, right? So think about this. I am the vine, because that's what a vine is. It's the central stem of a plant. Or when you look at any plant, the trunk of a tree, that's the central stem. A tree is nothing but a big plant, right? A flower, right? You have the central stem, which is the all outshoot, the shilak, right? The outshoot of the plant from the roots. Then from there, you have either leaves, you have either branches, and ultimately, if it's a flower or a plant that bears fruit, then it will flower towards the top. It may bear fruit towards the top. If it's a vine, you're going to either get cantaloupes, watermelon, grapes. But it's the central stem. So when you think about this pithy maxim, it's supposed to bring you back to that central stem. Who is the central stem? What is the central stem? Yahushua said, I am the vine. I am the central stem. I'm that center candlestick in the menorah. Right? Y'all with me? I hope so. So we see that this book is a book about the central stem, the vine. Go to Maxim, right? Maxim, an axiom statement of a self-evident truth, from the Old French maxime, from the Latin maxima, shortened from phrases such as maxima, propositio, literally greatest or chief premise, greatest among propositions, one which is general and absolute, from the feminine of maximus, greatest, superlative from the root meg, great. So this book takes us back to the central vine, the great vine. This is why it even illustrates in the book in 1:7. Let me find it where he says, well, maybe it wasn't word 1:7, where he says about the dark sayings. Who comes and spoke in dark? Oh, 1:6. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So who's the wise one? The one that came in dark sayings? You mean he came and spoke in words that in order to be able to understand them, you had to have his wisdom? Before I go any further, let me read Deuteronomy. Read some things from Deuteronomy before I get into this, okay, family? Bear with me just a little bit. All right, we're going to Deuteronomy 4th chapter, starting at verse 1, going to read to verse 14. And as my brother says, and it reads, "Now, Yisrael, listen to the statutes and to the ordinance which I teach you to do them." And this is Moshe, right? This is Moshe. This is the double words, the barim, the multiple words. These are Moshe, after his experience with Israel, he is, and with the Almighty, he is able and has been brought to a level where he not just memorized the Torah, but now he can espouse, and from his experience with people, with the nation of Israel, as a shepherd of that flock, able to now speak to the people from what he had been given from Yahweh and what he had learned from being over top of them as their leader, right? Because one thing, as a leader, you start to get to know your people. You start to know your people because you have an intimate relationship with them. If you're the type of leader that talks to them, that interacts with them, that spends time with them, listens to them, share experiences with them, you get to know them. You understand the type of people and the different type of people and what makes them tick. But anyway, Deuteronomy 4:1. "Now, Yisrael, listen to the statutes and to the ordinances," which I'm reading from the WEB just in case. "Now, Yisrael, listen to the statutes and to the ordinances which I teach you to do them, that you may live." That's the first thing that Moshe wants them to have. And here's the thing. When the scriptures and the prophets talk about living, my brother stated last night, he's just not talking about living here in this life. This is not the life. This isn't even living. What we are trying to do in this life, as remember, Gershom and Daniel said, the dash. This dash is only that. Our actions, which will either lead to eternal life or eternal death, isn't the life that we are looking towards. However, what we do in this life determines whether or not we experience afterwards. "Now, Yisrael, listen to the statutes and to the ordinances which I teach you to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, gives you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your mighty one, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor," and I'll never forget my sister, what she taught, what Baal Peor was. And we see so much in our communities caught up in that Peor, the god of the pole. Even to the point where my brother showed me a video, they're giving out awards. Women are taking their children, their male children at that. And I ain't just talking about us. It was a very diverse group of people. He showed me a video where mothers took their children, young children. I ain't talking about adolescent. I ain't talking about adult children. Took their young, in-arm children to a class to learn how to work a pole and got awards at the end of it for it. Where is the world? See, people think in order to do what Paul said in Romans, going away from the natural affection of a mother, it means, oh, she murdered her child. Let me tell you something. There's more. You don't have to physically murder your child in order to murder your child. Once you destroy their consciences, you destroy their soul. Once you destroy their soul, you have murdered your child. Because now you have taken away any sort of reasoning from them. You are instilling within them a reprobate mind. Because how do you tell that child, without there being some divine intervention, that action is wrong when mama taught it to you? And again, not was a diverse group of people. So don't just say, oh, they go our community. Nah, I was shocked when my brother showed me the video. It was a whole group of different demographics in there. And they were all proud to, the woman brought in, she had her male child on. This is where we are as a people. Not as a people. This is where we are as human beings, as humanity. Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, your mighty one, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor. For all the men who follow Baal Peor, Yahweh, your mighty one, has destroyed them from among you. But you who are faithful to Yahweh, your mighty one, are all alive today. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me that you should do so in the middle of the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. But the one teacher was a sister. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who shall hear all these statutes, saying, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there? Not the United States, China, not Russia, not ancient Babylon. You want to know how we are currently under Babylon's dominion, in particular this country? Abba showed me something. When you look at the Constitution of the United States, right? What does it start off with? We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, right? When you look in the scriptures, when Babylon was made, when Nimrod and the Babylonian men were constructing the Tower of Babel, and Abba came down and he said, the people, this is what the people have done. So when we have a country whose main document starts off with we the people, that means the people that founded this country gathered themselves together against the Most High. And this is how you know they gathered themselves against the Most High, because they took his people as their main source to make and establish this nation. So when Yahweh looked down on Babylon, he referred to them as the people. And we have a nation that starts off with we the people. That should be proof positive. Yes, all the world is Babylon. Yes, all the world is caught up in sin. But when you look at the actions that this particular nation had taken, and I hear so many people, all these great thinkers, you know, the Thomas Sowells and guys like him that are really just, yes, they say a lot of great things. But to me, their minds are so whitewashed and blinded that they just cannot see the truth of what the Creator has done, and they are so lost. And yes, he says a lot of wise things, and I do agree with many of the things that but he tries to just, well, every nation had slaves. We still have people who are caught up in slavery and this thing. Yeah, but what the United States of America did knowingly to a particular people is a lot different, because see, whereas this may exist among other nations, and yes, it did, I don't disagree with you, they knew who they were taking. Those who gave us over to the slaver knew who they were giving over. There's a big difference. and why they did it and how long they did it and how cruel they were with it. It's a difference. And how they institutionalized it. It's a difference. We wouldn't need a 13th, 14th Amendment. We wouldn't have needed the 3/5 compromise. We wouldn't have needed a civil rights movement. We wouldn't have needed all of these things. Anyway, I'm tangentizing. For what great nation is there that has a mighty one so near to them as Yahweh, our mighty one, is whenever we call on him? So you mean, so even before Yahushua came on to anything you ask of the Father in my name, he'll grant it, that he was so near to us that whenever we called on him, he would answer? For what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this Torah which I set before you today? To the Constitution. See, Yahweh don't respect persons. If you follow his laws, statutes, and judgments, and you do as Ruth did and said, your God will be my God, entreat me not to leave, one of my favorites, entreat me not to leave you. Wherever you go, I will go. And your God, I'm taking him as my God. See, he didn't discriminate in the Torah. If you are part of the nation, he don't care if you white, black, Puerto Rican, Chinese. It don't matter to him. You follow his law, statutes, and judgments, period. Remember what we learned. Who is Israel? See, so many people in this country, a lot of us are so colorblind, caught up in colorism. Yahweh don't see color. It's only one color that matters to Yahweh. Are you drenched? Are you soaked? Are you baptized in the blood of his son, Rabbi Melech Yehusha? That's all he sees is blood red. That's all he ever saw. When you brought the goat, the bull, the pigeon, he ain't looking at the color of it. He does look at the condition of it. He looks at the condition of it. That's why he told them, every 10th one that passes through the route. He didn't say every 10th one that was a brown one, a white one, a speckled one. No, he did not. Because remember when our father, Yaakov, he said, you know what? You take all the pretty color ones. I'll take the mutt-looking ones. I'll take the ring straight ones. I'll take the spotted ones. I'll take the ones that are funny looking. And I'll make them mine. Message, because remember, Yaakov also points to the Father. See, if Yahweh wanted a whole bunch of pure breeds, he could have himself a whole bunch of pure breeds. But he doesn't just want pure breeds. He wants pure breeds, plus he wants the ones that may be a little different. But all he sees, I hate to disappoint those who are into colorism, which is a machination of the devil. See, but we are so still so ironclad. We talk about being liberated from the mind of America, but still caught up in colorism. Blood is the color he wants to see. The blood of Yahushua. Isn't that what he did in Egypt? He said, when I see the blood on the mantle, if you was an Egyptian and you believed and you put that blood on your mantle, you were spared. If you just so happened to be a passerby through Egypt and encountered the nation of Israel and they said, this night, we have to put this, and you believed, oh, I'm going to do that too. I want my family to be, he said, okay. Rahab, what was the color of the scar? That's the only colorism Yahweh's into. Period. Period. If you want to debate me, I'll be more than willing to debate you about it. Me. And I don't like to debate, but the colorism thing has to go away. We were taught that. Oh, Bible's representative in the congregation. 4:7, for what great nation is there that has a mighty one so near to them as Yahweh, our mighty one, is whenever we call on him? What great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this Torah which I set before you today? He said, only be careful and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget that these things which your eyes saw, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your children and your children's children. The day that you stood before Yahweh, your mighty one, in Horeb, when Yahweh said to me, assemble the people to me, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, how many of us were taught this by our parents? I know I wasn't. You came near and stood under the mountain, 4:11. You came near and stood under the mountain. The mountain burned with fire to the heart of the sky, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. Yahweh spoke to you out of the middle of the fire. You heard the voice of words, but you saw no form. You only heard a voice. He declared to you his covenant, which he commanded to you to perform. He commanded you to perform. Even the Ten Commandments, he wrote them on two stone tablets. Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it. Okay? And further he says, Deuteronomy 18:15. I'm reading 18:15-18. Yahweh, your mighty one, will raise up to you a prophet from among you of your brothers like me. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you desired of Yahweh, your mighty one in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again Yahweh, my mighty one's voice, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I not die. So as my brother stated last night, he sends men to speak on his behalf. Why? Because as much as we might think we want to hear it, Yahweh's voice was so terrible in the ears of our foreparents, they said, never again you speak to us directly. Because it shook us to the point where we wanted to die. So now what happens? He says, I'm going to send men to speak on my behalf. And you should listen to them. Again, 18:16, this is according to all that you desired of Yahweh, your mighty one in Horeb, in the days of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again, ever again, Yahweh, my mighty one's voice, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Let him not appear in that form. We don't want to see him like that anymore. So he said, okay. Yahweh said to me, they have said that they have well said that which they have spoken. Very good, because it's in accordance to my plan. I wanted them to see this. I wanted them to experience this. So then when I send something that looks similar to them, they'll listen. 18:18 reads, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brothers like you. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command. And what was the greatest commandment he gave us? To love. Love, 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 love. But as my old professor used to say, hello, hello, are you listening? Are you listening? Sean, are you listening? Hello, Universal House and House of Beth Yahweh, are you listening? Back to Deuteronomy. Back to Proverbs. We're going to read a little bit out of this here Proverbs, family. I'm starting back at 1:8. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the Torah of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. You know, like how we like to wear the things around our neck from time to time? This is what the Torah is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an ornamentation on us, this wisdom that we get from the Torah. But we're going to learn so much more about this wisdom as we progress through. I'm going to read a couple of chapters out of here. My son, and I'll never forget, My mother used to tell me this all the time. And I used to be like, yeah, ma. Not realizing how much Yahweh was revealing to her and speaking through her when she was saying this to me. My son, if sin has enticed thee, consent thou not. So my mother used to always tell me, back in the King James. I'm going to flip over to, no, I'm going to stay in the King James at this point, folks. My son, if sin has enticed thee, consent thou not. Every time she picked up the phone, she would say that to me. Not realizing, Mom, oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. Abba, I'm so sorry. I didn't listen to you. 111. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. Don't we see this in our community? When a young man can look, I'm talking to the guys at work about this, they don't respect grandmama no more. Even if you had no respect for grandpa, you had all the respect for grandmama. And when you can look at grandma as she's bringing her groceries into her home, and you can put a gun to grandma's head and demand her food from her, what is that saying about the soul of our young men? When you no longer respect grandma, you can look at grandma and not think of protecting her first, not think of helping her get her bag up the stairs and into the house. Your inclination was to put a gun to grandma's head. A gun to a woman who couldn't even defend herself against you physically. You pulled a gun on her. Boy. Vengeance is mine, saith Yahweh. Boy, because I tell you, if I caught him, y'all out here robbing grandma. Grandma ain't safe at the gas station. Grandma ain't safe bringing groceries in her home. But if nothing else, you could be out there hustling. And I ain't agreeing with that. But if nothing else, you could be out there hustling. You robbed grandma. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. They talking about robbing and stealing. Making your house full of treasures off of people who you've either murdered, robbed. This is what you're filling your house with, and you think it's going to last? We shall find all precious stuff. Back to 113. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. 120. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse and the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the reverence, yirah, fear of Yahweh. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So basically what y'all putting out, y'all getting back. You murdering? You robbing? You getting just recompense for it, whether it be a prison sentence, whether it be the ultimate. Verse 132, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as a hid treasure. So, and when you look at silver, when you look up money in the scriptures, it equates money to silver. Gold was always for adornment. But silver was what you used, as well as livestock. When you start talking about money, as in trading a piece of metal for an item, that was always what silver was. Silver wasn't necessarily for ornamentation. That was gold's purpose. But silver's purpose, when you look in the scriptures, look up money, it will equate it to silver. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of Yah. For Yahweh giveth wisdom. I want to switch back to W.E.B. because I like seeing Yahweh name. Thank you. For Yahweh gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Remember, we talked about the shields, one of your most important weapons. If not, as a matter of fact, he says, chiefly, mostly, you want the shield of faith. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. For wisdom will enter into your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the evil way, from the men who speak perverse things. So what he's telling you is you got to resist this stuff. 2:13, who forsake the path of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths, to deliver you from the strange woman, even from the foreigner who flatters with her words, who forsakes the friend of her youth and forgets the covenant of her mighty one. For her house leads down to death, her paths to the departed spirits. None who go to her return again. Neither do they attain to the path of life, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteous. For the upright will dwell in the land, the perfect will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, the treacherous will be rooted out of it. 3:1, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Don't let kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yah and men. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, out some of your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yirah, reverence Yahweh, and depart from evil. It will be health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. Excuse me. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, don't despise Yahweh's discipline, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he reproves. Even as a father reproves the son in whom he delights. Asheri. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gets understanding. For her good profit is better than getting silver, and her return is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. None of the things you can desire are to be compared to it. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths of peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold to her. Happy is everyone who retains her. By wisdom, Yahweh founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the skies dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to you. So I'm at 322. So they will be life to your soul and grace for your neck. Then you shall walk in your way securely. Your foot won't stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For Yahweh will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being taken. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power of your hand to do it. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it to you. When you have it, by you. Don't devise evil against your neighbor, since he dwells securely by you. Don't strive with a man without cause. Don't strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Don't envy the man of violence. Choose none of his ways. For the perverse is an abomination to Yahweh, but his friendship is with the upright. Yahweh's curse is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the righteous. Surely he mocks the mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise will inherit glory, but shame will be the promotion of fools. 4:1. Listen, sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and know understanding. For I give you sound learning. Don't forsake my Torah. For I was a son to my father, tender and an only child, in the sight of my mother. He taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, don't forget, and don't deviate from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. He's talking about wisdom. Love her, and she will keep you. Think about this, right? Everybody talk about, Yahushua didn't have a wife. Some people try to say, well, he didn't fulfill the commandments because he didn't have a wife. He wasn't fruitful and multiply. You know who was Yahushua's wife? You know who he embraced? Wisdom. Yes, Yisrael also. But wisdom. He embraced wisdom. He held on to wisdom. He had a relationship with wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget and don't deviate from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. See, Israel wasn't pure. Wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. 4:7. Yes, though it costs all your possessions, get understanding. What has been our, the only word that can come to mind right now is motto, Kane Bean, and all thy getting, get understanding, family. It says, esteem her, 4:8, and she will exalt you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will give to your head a garland of grace. She will deliver a crown of splendor to you. Listen, my son, and receive my saying. The years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in straight paths. When you go, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Notice Satan didn't quote this to him, right? He said, he didn't quote Proverbs 4:12. He said, when you go, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. 4:13, take firm hold of instruction. Don't let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Don't enter into the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it, and don't pass by it. Turn from it and pass on. For they don't sleep unless they do evil. Their sleep is taken away unless they make their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. 4:17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the dawning light that shines more and more until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what they stumble over. My son, attend to my words. Turn your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Put away from yourself a perverse mouth and fingers. Put corrupt lips far from you and fingers. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make the path of your feet level. Let all of your ways be established. Don't turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil, five family. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my understanding, that you may maintain discretion, that your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey. Anybody ever taste bitter honey? Not bitter honey. Bitter honey, like the candy. Have you ever tasted bitter honey? For the lips of an adulteress, her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood and as sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to Sheol. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her ways are crooked, and she doesn't know it. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me. Don't depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her. Don't come near to the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your labors enrich another man's house. You will groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Neither have I obeyed the voice of my teachers, my Moreen, nor turned my ear to those who instructed me. I have come to the I have come to the brink of utter ruin among the gathered assembly. Drink water out of your own cistern, running water out of your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, streams of water in the public squares, let them be for yourself alone, not for strangers with you. Let your spring be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe and a graceful deer. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times. Be captivated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be captivated with an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another? For the ways of man are before Yahweh's eyes. He examines all his paths. Think about that for a second, family. For the ways of a man, Yahweh never takes his eye off of us. And he said he examines all his paths. He's watching every path we take. Every path. Even if others don't see it, he watching. 5:22. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him firmly. He will die for lack of instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. 6 in the last chapter, family. My son, if you have become collateral for your neighbor, if you have struck your hands in the pledge for a stranger, you are trapped by the words of your mouth, sneered with the words of your mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provides her bread in the summer and gives her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, sluggard? When will you rise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So your poverty will come as a robber and your scarcity as an armed man. A worthless person, a man of iniquity, is he who walks with a perverse mouth. A worthless person, a man of iniquity, is he who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with the eyes, who signals with his feet, who motions with his fingers, and whose heart is perverseness, who devises evil continually, who always sows discord. Therefore, his calamity will come suddenly. He will be broken suddenly, and that without remedy. There are 6 things which Yahweh hates. This is 6:16. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness who utters lies, and he who sows discord among brothers. My son, keep your father's commandments and don't forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, it will lead you. When you sleep, it will watch over you. When you awake, it will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. For the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the immoral woman, from the flattery of the wayward wife's tongue. Don't lust after her beauty in your heart, neither let her captivate you with her eyelids. For a prostitute reduces you to a piece of bread. The adulteress hunts for your precious life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap and his clothes not be burned? You ain't gonna grab some fire, real burning fire. Embrace it and put it up to your chest and not be burned. Can a man scoop? Imagine that we at Sukkot. The fire's burning nice. We getting toasty warm with it. We looking inside at it and we see the bright white heat embers. And we stick our hands in the midst of that, grab an armful of it, pull it towards us and expect not to get third-degree burns or worse. Can a man, and think of what he's referencing this to. Can a man scoop fire into his lap and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? You know, you got these people out there called firewalkers. Now, I've heard there's a particular technique to do it, but it's basically like magic. Black magic. Because Yahweh says, can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? 6:29. So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not be unpunished. Men, don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But if he is found, he shall restore seven times. He shall give all the wealth of his house. He who commits adultery with a woman is void of understanding. He who does it destroys his own soul. He will get wounds and dishonor. His reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy arouses the fury of the husband. He won't spare in the day of vengeance. He won't regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though you give many gifts. And that is the end of my Torah portion for today, family. Again, we're going to go through, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through the Proverbs, because it's been a while. You know, and as we progress towards the time of Pesach, one of the things Abba wants is for us to be right. He wants us to be right. Remember that Pesach is a love feast, regardless of where you keep it, who you keep it with. Everybody should be keeping it basically the same. Have your lamb. Have your bit of herb. Have your matzah. And then the things that Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach added should all have the four of the basic requirements of Pesach. But as we move towards that, now's the time to start getting right. Medikat Kamatz isn't just for the day before. For the time now. Because we shouldn't get so caught up in the physical leaven that we totally forget that spiritual leaven is what leavens the whole loaf. Baruch Atah Yehoshua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, Abba Yah, and to your son, Rabbi Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach. Father, cleanse me of my sins, Father. Wipe my soul with that spiritual hyssop. Cleanse me of my sins, O Yahweh. Forgive me for my sins, O Yahweh, that I have committed against you, Father, knowingly, Father. Knowingly, I ain't even going to say unknowingly. Forgive me for when my eyes goes astray, when I listen to foolish speaking, when I speak foolishly, Abba. Forgive me for my foolish and evil thoughts, Abba. Help me, Father, to get back right with you, Abba. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that you do the same for those who need it, Father. Look after us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Keep the evil one from us. Hedge us up, Father. Protect us from ourselves, Abba Yah. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.